Again, it's wonderful to see everybody out this morning. Always wonderful to come together, to study, to worship. Hope that everybody has been encouraged as we've gone throughout our worship so far. It's always wonderful to be with brother and sister in Christ, to come together and to study and to worship with each other, to build up one another, to stir up that love and good works. This morning's lesson and probably a few other lessons in the near future are all going to kind of go together and go along the point of a suggestion that was brought up to maybe do in Bible class, but since we went a different direction with Bible class, I decided to go ahead and try to put a couple lessons together, kind of on that point. And the request was into looking at if you were to buy material on it. It's often referred to old issues that the church had dealt with, or issues of a certain time period is the way it might read. And so, and it's just the different things in which has caused division among the church, among not just our division among from the world and from denominations, but the division among the brethren. And so this morning's lesson is simply to bring out the point of division and unity, and to see the one point that, yes, there is a call for unity, but at another point, there is a call to divide ourselves from certain people. And we need to make sure we understand that just because we are called for unity and that we are called to come together and to love one another, to love all, to love our enemies, does not mean that we are not technically divided from them, that there is somewhat of a division, even though we care for their soul. So the first point I want to look at it is to talk about the unity, to understand that we are called to unite together, to worship with each other, and to try to help the Lord's church to grow. And so in John chapter 17, if you want to open up the Bible to start off with me, in John chapter 17, and looking at verse 20, John 17 and starting in verse 20, as Jesus prays here, he prays for the unity of you and me. And it says here, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, and they also may be in us, so that the world may believe you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me. And they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. And so as Jesus prays here, he prays that as we hear the words that the apostles spread to others and they pass on to the other disciples and they passed on, and as it's been taught and as it was written down for us, that as we study these things, that we will accept it. And that we will be united in it. That we will become one just as Christ is one with the Father. And then he brings out that we may become one with Christ dwelling in us. And therefore, if Christ is one with the Father, then the Father is one within our hearts also. And then we all become one, united in the mind. And understanding what the goal is, what our hope is, where our treasure is, and what needs to be done in order to get there. That we are called for unity, and as he brings out, so why? So that the world may know that you sent me. That as we become one, our light will shine unto others, and others will know that Jesus is the Son of God, that God the Father sent the Lord down here. And so we are united in that. And again, it's the understanding that this is to go out into all the world. This is what he wants to spread to everybody, right? As we go to Matthew 28, and you start there in verse 19, as he tells them to go and make disciples of all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, to teach all creatures. Again, he wants all to be saved. As we finished up Philippians in the adult class, we finished into that point of asking that question and coming to that point that it has went into all the world. Or maybe that's the beginning of Colossians. I get it mixed up. But it's going into all the world. Going and teaching, and in the desire is that we become united together, that we have unity in the Scriptures, in our Lord and Savior. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. It says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no division among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same judgment. Here it brings that again, that they be united as one. That they all have the same mind. That they all have the desire to get to heaven. That they all believe that Jesus is the Christ. That they all believe that Jesus resurrected. And that he established his church. That it is through him that our sins are forgiven. You need to be united. And go forth and have one mind in that. And go forth and teach that same thing to all. Knowing that we're all going to be judged by the same thing. We're all going to be judged by the words that we have here in front of us. We have to be united. Come in unity with one another. Because there's only one church, one body. We turn to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, and you read here starting in verse 4. It says, there is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So here it brings out there's one. Only one body, which is the church. As we just barely got to there in our adult class this morning, as going through Colossians, the body, the church. It is the church. There is only one, though. And again, as we look through the scriptures here, we see that there are congregations in Corinth. There's congregations in Ephesus. There's congregations in Colossae. And so we see that there's separate congregations. But there is only one unity, united body of Christ. And as the congregations in other countries, if they are united with the scriptures and they go and teach what the scriptures have to say and that they wear the name that the scriptures give us to wear, we are in unity with them. We have fellowship with our brethren in Christ wherever they are. And that's what we're supposed to have, because there's only one Lord who died for us. There is only one faith, one teaching, one doctrine that he had given to his disciples and sent them out to go and teach. Only one hope in which we have to get to heaven. Only one Father that has allowed our Lord and Savior, that sent our Savior down here, that sent the Spirit to come and give us the word. And so we see that there is a call for unity, that there needs to be a striving to teach others so that they can be united with Christ also. So absolutely we are to have a love for one another, just as God loved the world and sent his Son down to die for it, that we are to love the world and try to teach and to spread the Word of God and have hope that the Word of God will do what it can do and bring them to the Lord. And then God can forgive them. God can add them to his kingdom. But as much as we say that we have to be called to unity, that means we're being called out of, as we talked about again in adult class this morning, called out of darkness. And we're being called out of this world, and therefore we are dividing ourselves away from them. So we must separate ourselves from them. And so go to Colossians chapter 1 and read there, as we did this morning, Colossians chapter 1 and reading in verse 13. As it brings out here, he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. He has delivered us out of this power of darkness. He's delivered us away from the ways of this world. He's delivered us. Called us out of. We are to separate ourselves from such actions. As we can go through and we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and look at verses 9 and 10 again and look and see those who will not inherit the kingdom of God. We go to Revelation 21 and read in verse 8 and see then those who shall be cast into the lake of fire. We can go read about the works of the flesh and list those things. And that is the power of darkness. Those are the things that pull us away. We see in James chapter 1, James, and ask why do these things happen? Because of our own desires. We can look and search the scriptures to know that these are things that pull us away from the Lord. So therefore, we do have to separate ourselves from. And 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2. Turn along with me here and read verse 9. It says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you proclaim excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Again, so here it brings out a list that tells us who we are now. That if you've accepted the call, that if you've searched the scriptures and you've chosen to become a Christian, a follower of Christ, then you have now become a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Called out of what? Called out of darkness. Into where? Into his life, his marvelous life. And so we are to separate ourselves. There's something that is supposed to be different from you and the world. Again, we'll be known by our fruits, by our actions, by the words that we say. They will understand whether or not you are part of the world or there's something different about you. We are divided. We are separate. In 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4. You read along with me here in verse 5. 1 John 4, and reading in verse 5, it says, "They are from the world. Therefore they speak from the world. And the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Again, pointing us and telling us we know right from wrong. At least hopefully you've studied the scriptures and you know that 2 Timothy 2 verse 15, "Be diligent. Present yourselves approved unto God, a workman who can rightly divide the word of truth." Because that's what the scriptures will do for us. It has everything we need to instruct, to correct, to reprove, and to guide us in that right direction, to tell us right from wrong. And to show us that we can choose to be either part of the world or part with Christ. To be with our Lord and the light that he has given to us. And yes, sometimes that means that we have to be willing even to separate ourselves and be called out from our own family. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 10, and you read here starting in verse 21, it says, "Brother will deliver brother over to death, and father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved." Most often I go to verses 34 through 37 there where Jesus says he came not to bring peace but a sword. That a father will be divided against the son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. Five in one household will be divided. We are going to have division. It's going to happen if you are a follower of the Lord. If you're going to put Christ first in your life, we're not always going to be in unity with everybody. And we are going to be divided. And therefore, we have to be willing to test all spirits. Going back to 1 John chapter 4 and looking at verse 1. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone into the world, and by this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now in the world already." So as we study the scriptures and we look for it, yes, there is a call to be united with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And because we are being united with the body of Christ, therefore we have to separate ourselves from the world. But But as life continues, as we continue down that point, we see here that that means sometimes there's going to be a division among the brethren. That we'll have to divide ourselves from a brother or sister in Christ. Sometimes it may be an entire congregation that we have to say that we are divided from. That we do not share fellowship with such. Because they are teaching error and they go down a false doctrine. Though we can sit here and say, well, they're not like this over here and they're not doing that over there. But if they're teaching error, then we do have to divide ourselves. We do have to be willing to stand up for the Word of God. And we see that within just a congregation. When you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. When you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and Paul's writing to them about the issues in which they are struggling with and dealing with. In 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 4 says, "When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord." Again, here, as he's talking about, they're caught up in someone has committed sexual immoral actions. They're caught up in doing evil, and the people are just ignoring the situation, just allowing it to continue to take place. And here he's saying, you guys have to separate from him. Again, it's so that he may be saved and hopefully hear what you guys are saying to him. So you get down to verse 11 here. It says, "But now I am writing to you, not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother." Anyone who is a brother in Christ, this is someone who's acknowledged the truth. Someone who has obeyed the gospel. Has been baptized for the remission of their sins. One who bears the name of a brother, if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or is an idolater or a reveler or a drunkard or a swindler, not even to eat with such one. Again, we're to separate ourselves from brethren who fall away, from brethren who start to go off into error. And verse 13 says, "God judges those outside, purge the evil person from among you." We have to be willing to separate ourselves from such people. That there has to be a distinction made, because if not, then we allow them to go back into the world to wear the title that they are still a member of this congregation, a member of the Lord's church, and people see them in that sexual immoral life. People see them lying left and right. People hear them swearing. People see them getting drunk. People see them in their immodest life, that they live outside of this world. And they say, well, that's so-and-so, and they go to church over there. And so therefore, they say, well, they must accept that. They must think it's okay. They must believe those things are fine. And it starts to mark the Lord's church. It starts to set example for others that might say, well, we can get away with it if they can get away with it. Again, we can turn to Matthew chapter 18 and see that when a brother sins against us, that we are to confront them. Matthew 18, and you read here in verse 15, it says, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother." Again, here, that we try to bring them back, but after you, that doesn't work, and you go and take one or two people along with you, and if that doesn't work, in verse 17, it says, "If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church, and if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and tax collector." And so therefore it's saying, separate yourself, divide yourself from such people. And will not turn away from sin. And again, this is a brother that's named among them. You gain your brother back if he hears you and repents and accepts the truth. But if they continue to choose to go down such path, then you are to separate yourself from them. To divide yourself from them. In Romans chapter 16. Turn along with me there in Romans chapter 16. Romans 16, and looking at verse 17 here. It says, "I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught avoid. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. But watch out. Pay attention to warn others. Again, how many times? We see that Jesus said they will come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are wolves. So it's not just saying, watch out for this kind of teaching. And it's not just saying, watch out for this denomination, this religion over here, this here, because it was established by men, because it wasn't what you see is established. No, these are brethren who bring out that you have to be baptized for remission of sins. This is brethren who teach that you have to take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, every first day of the week. This is brethren who will teach truth for the most part. But then it comes to just an issue or a couple issues that they start to change the Word of God. They start to alter it and say, well, you know, we can go a little bit beyond the Scriptures. We cannot do that. In 2 John, I'm reading verses 9 through 11 there, if you will. It says, everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greetings, or whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. And again, we've already establish and point out that it says in 2 Corinthians, or in 1 Corinthians, that it says a brother named among them. That he's truly speaking of those who are your brethren. Why? Because to separate ourselves from the entire world, to completely get out of it, we would have to take ourselves out of the world. We can't do it. And then when you look at the example of Jesus, that he went among sinners to teach them, to provide for them, to show them the right way, we are to go and to spread the word of God. It comes to a point that we do have to divide ourselves from our own brethren. And as we continue into the series, as I bring out another few lessons upon this, I plan on talking a little more this evening as we get into it. Not necessarily as a, maybe we often refer to all these things as we practice church discipline among brethren among this congregation of our own. Brother who has got caught up in sexual immoral actions or caught up in lying and done something publicly that we know of and that we have to practice that church discipline right then and there. But there are issues in which we face with other congregations that they may teach differently and wrongly on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. They may teach differently and to the point of institutionalism or fellowship cards and other things in which they have added to their worship, added to using contribution funds, and asking the question as we go through and think of those things in our mind of what does the Word of God have to say? Do we have scriptural authority to do such actions? So as we go through those lessons, that's the main thing we're going to be looking at as we approach our brethren or as we try to figure out if we have fellowship with such people. Is do we have authority through the Word of God to do such things? Do we have authority, or have they added to it, or have they taken away from the Scriptures of God? I don't want to leave without extending the invitation this morning. I hope that I have helped as we talk about coming in unity. That should be our goal. And as we come in unity, the main person we're trying to come in unity is with our Lord, with our Father up above. As we grow closer to Him, and others grow closer to Him, then we grow closer to one another. If you're here, you need to pray as a congregation. You need to be baptized to wash your sins away. If there's anything we can do for you, let it be known as we stand in the same place.
Hear the sweet voice.